Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 9, verses 12 through 17a. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 9th chapter. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to Jesus, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people," for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This past Sunday was the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, in which we heard the confession of Saint Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to Peter, but the Father who is in heaven. But how did the Father reveal it to him, that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God? He revealed it in the great works that were accomplished in his Son. He revealed it in the teaching of Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, and then in his many parables. But he also revealed it in the course of Peter's own work. Remember that Jesus sent out the 12 disciples on a preliminary apostolic mission in the middle of the Gospels into the towns of Galilee. And they were to take no provisions with them because the Lord would teach them that he was going to provide for them. In fact, provide by those who received them. And returning from this work, a crowd gathered to receive even more of Jesus' teaching, and that was the occasion of today's scripture, this feeding of the 5,000, which we heard from St. Luke's account. Now, Luke only records this one feeding of 5,000. In Matthew and Mark, we see that Jesus also then warns about false teaching and defilement of sin through the imagery of bread before another feeding of 4,000 on the other side of the lake. And in the center, by the way, he also heals that Canaanite woman who is pressing on him to heal her daughter, but who is content that she may eat the crumbs that fall from her master's table. These feedings are the culmination of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. He teaches and he heals and he feeds. And this is how Peter knows that he is the Christ, the Son of God. He is like Moses, carrying the very words of God in his mouth. He is like Elisha, greater than the prophet who came before him, John the Baptist, who is now healing many and even raising the dead. And today, he is most like Moses again, gathering his people, assembling the men of Israel in their numbers, feeding them in the wilderness. And all this means that he is more. He is the Christ of God. Now, the Gospels are the reason that we Lutherans teach that everyone should know 2 things about Jesus. You should know Christ's person, and you should know his work. We have learned his person, that he is true God and true man, all from the beginning of the Gospels. His birth, the evidence of his divine nature in his teaching and in his miracles. But after this point in the Gospels, we begin to see his true work the heart of his mission and the reason that he has become man for us. And he immediately predicts that right after Peter's confession. The Christ is here to suffer and to die and to rise again for us men and for our salvation. Now, this is the thing that Peter struggles to confess and struggles to believe, that Jesus should suffer and bear the cross. But this is the blessed truth, and it is the very same Lord Jesus Christ who must be the crucified one. In the following days after Peter's confession, again this is confirmed for him by the Father, by the sight of the glorious transfiguration of Jesus before him. But what then is so significant about this feeding today that precedes it, which is recorded in all four of the Gospels, and which prompts Peter's good confession of Jesus the Christ? Three things. First, we see our Lord's rich compassion and his care for his people. Our God does not send people away to bed hungry. He does not despise or abandon the people who follow him or who serve him. He does not even ignore his apostles. There's a basket of fragments left over, one for each of the 12 also. And faith that is placed in this Jesus is not wishful thinking, is not a foolish hope against all wisdom when we should be tending to our own needs ourselves instead. No, that is faith that is well placed. This one provides. Jesus and his mercy endure forever. His love is steadfast, as we sing all the time. And a simple reflection on his providence, a commendation of yourself each morning and each evening into his care, at bedtime, maybe with the words of the hymn we just sang, or maybe at a retirement and a change of life. This is not mere sentimentality. This is saving faith, to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and expect good from him. And he doesn't turn such faithful people away. The second thing that is significant is our Lord uses this occasion to show the purpose of his apostles and those ministers of the New Testament who would follow in their train. They're not only to call to repentance and to wash away sins with, like the baptizer did. They're not only to bring healing by the word of forgiveness. They're not only to proclaim the kingdom of God or to gather a crowd as Jesus has done, but they also are to feed that crowd. It's a bit of a frightening command there that Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." No apostle and no pastor could ever produce like this of our own power. And yet the Lord, again, in this occasion, shows that he is the source of all good things. He is the source of all sustenance. He is, in fact, as John's gospel will go on, the true bread of life come down from heaven. And yet he puts himself into their hands to distribute. Not so that they would gain adulation or receive bows from the crowd, but so that his sheep would be fed, the very thing that he would say to Peter at the end of the Gospels. Now, 1 Corinthians 4 says clearly that we should consider ministers of Christ to be stewards of the mysteries. This is why pastors are the ones who administer the sacrament in our churches. But these feedings can also be seen as instructions through example to the apostles, and therefore a confirming testimony to this. And third, feedings like this one are so significant because feeding and eating is the chief image in the Gospels and in the Bible of eternal life. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, and we pray every week that we await the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Christ, the Son of God, is the feast's host. And he is also the occasion for the feast. He is the bridegroom to his bride. And he is its main course, the Lamb of God who feeds us. So it is that wherever the Word of God is preached, at least at the church's chief divine service, it is natural also that the Lord's congregation not go home hungry either. We ought to have a foretaste of that eternal feast to come in our Lord's Supper. And thanks be to God, we also get a chance to feast tomorrow as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.